Welcome back to Flex Your Head, another special episode of Scream Therapy. On Flex Your Head, we take a breather from punk rock and mental health and explore classic punk albums, which I guess is good for mental health. On this episode, we're joined by Drew once again. It's great to have you back, Drew. And we get to talk about an amazing album today, as all the Flex Your Head episodes are. So what album are we talking about today?
We are talking about The Argument by Fugazi.
The Argument is Fugazi's sixth and latest release. I say latest because there is a chance that they could someday maybe get back and do more music. The Argument came out back in 2001, so it's been quite a while since they're active. And through Discord Records, which has been their label all along, owned by Ian Mackay, who is the guitar player and singer in Fugazi. So we have Guy Picciotto on vocals and guitar. We have Ian Mackay on vocals, guitar, and piano on this album. We have Joel Alley on bass and vocals, and Brendan Canty on drums and piano. And we have some extra people on this album, which is really cool.
Yeah,
Jerry
totally.
Buescher played drums and percussion. So there's some songs where there's two drummers, which is rad, and we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yeah.
Amy Dominguez played cello, and Kathy Wilcox and Bridget Cross, both of great bands themselves, Bikini Kill and Unrest, respectively, were on background vocals on a couple of songs.
Yeah.
What are your opening thoughts on this one? We've been talking about doing this for a while, and it's
finally here. So first quick fact about this album. This is the only Fugazi album where Fugazi has a track where none of the original members play on. The intro is all just Amy playing.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently it was her just in the studio. Sorry, I'm just diving straight into this, but it's just her in the studio making weird noises on her cello. And Guy was just like, no, more of that, and do this. How about do that again? And so they're just recording it, and then Brendan collaged it along with the radio static, and then sort of handed it to her, and was like, do you mind if we start the album with this? And she's like, yeah, of course, do that.
Scared me when you said it was. I was like, "What? Who else was in Fugazi that left? What's going on?"
it's weirdly.
I never thought about it that way. That's cool. So, Red Medicine came out in '95, and Hits came out in '98, and then you had Instrument Soundtrack in '99. So this album, well, it would have been 3 years after End Hits.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely continues on from where End Hits left off. It's way more multifaceted record. I always felt like End Hits was a bit of a mixed bag of amazingness. I love End Hits, one of my favorite Fugazi records. But yeah, this one kind of pulls those ideas together more. Definitely think it's their most melodic, but at the same time, there's some songs that are super heavy on this, on The Argument as well.
Yeah. I probably come back to these songs more than I do any other Fugazi track. I probably listen to Waiting Room more, but Full Disclosure is probably one of my favorite songs. And like, or they come up probably more than anything on my playlist.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard this album and it ends and it really has a finality to it. Like, it could almost be like, oh, is this the last Fugazi album? Is this the last Fugazi song? Argument, of course, is the last song on the album. But the thing is, I remember thinking that about End Hits as well. and because the title was End Hits, like, you know, this is the last.
Yeah.
there's something about this album that does feel like a chapter of it, that it could end at this point. And I think, I don't know if the band had that in mind when they did it. I know that they were talking about taking a break, especially after the tour for this album in 2022.
I was also listening to the Evens record today, especially Cash Out, I think. That really sounds like an Evens song, or you can kind of see where Ian's going with his songwriting. And that, yeah, I think Cash Out could have easily been an Evens song. Same sort of flow to the writing and
For
whatnot.
sure. What a great song. Such a good song.
I see the progress in that for sure.
Let's just dive right into some songs here.
Let's do it.
Cash Out is such a great opener. And
Yeah.
then we go into Full Disclosure a little bit later. And I actually read that Peixoto said that Full Disclosure and Strangelight were actually the same song at the beginning before they started recording, which
Yeah,
is
I came
weird
across that
because
today as
they're
well.
not
Yeah.
even close at all in sound, which kind of brings up the idea of, the whole allure of Epic Problem about the fact that they had
Yeah.
that song for like 20 years or something and never actually been able to
Yeah.
figure it out. So, these songs are always in flux. I've seen lots of live videos of Fugazi playing songs that are like combined together or mixed, like pulled apart.
Yeah.
Guy also told Pitchfork that they work like Legos. Said that's really the way that we work. We assemble stockpiles of parts and ideas, and then we just keep clicking them together until something works. I think it's impossible to explain to people who don't know this band inside and out how it actually works. I mean, first of all, they go into the studio, they bring in a bunch of ideas, they workshop them, they're messing around. This isn't just some band that goes in and has a song ready to go. This band is a band that goes in and is like artists that put this painting together as a collaborative effort. And I always wonder what these songs could have been or ended up being. Like, there's so many possibilities, right? If you listen to the instrument soundtrack, there's songs on there that end up being on this album and on end hits and bits and pieces that you can
Yeah.
hear in the mix. So one thing that came to mind for me was the song The Kill, which is Joe Lally wrote and sings on. I mean, that one, you could see where it started, that thumpy bass line. But to
Yeah.
where it actually got from there is just mind-blowing.
That's definitely one of the songs that comes up on the playlist that I always like kind of stop and have to look at my phone while I'm landscaping or whatever and just be like, oh, it's The Kill again, because it like seems fresh every time you listen to it.
This is this very strange record. I mean, there's no other songs like Argument. There's no other song like that in the world. There's no other song like these are all songs that you don't really have a lot of peers or anybody that does the same kind of
No.
stuff. And even some of the vocals, it's like there's really weird subdued vocals on a couple of the songs from Ian. Guy's always had really weird vocals, but even on this album there's a couple where they're pulling in every single breath in the recording. So as he's singing, it's like there's so much melody on this album
Yeah.
amongst the loudness. So the question to you is, I mean, what bands do you see as being direct successors of this album? I mean, like this album did it change the scope of?
Well, I think by the time this album came out, the bands that were going to be directly influenced by Fugazi were already going and in some senses breaking up right about now too. We've talked about Unwound, and I think Unwound's a really good example of a band that watched what Fugazi was doing and did their own thing, but they had the sort of same template. But then I didn't go back and listen to your other Fugazi episode, but is there a band that's been more influential than Fugazi?
Yeah, but not a band as good as Fugazi.
Yeah, but
You could argue bands like Nirvana, I mean, even Sonic Youth would be a good sort of parallel. But I don't know, I almost feel like they influence me for sure. When
yeah.
I play music, I always like think about Ian's guitar playing and how there's just no rules or boundaries. He just basically he can just hit his strings. He can like I'm learning a lot of like really cool noisy stuff right now and like just making the guitar sing with moving it around. And that's all stuff that I learned by watching listening to him. But I don't
Oh,
think there's a lot of
totally.
bands that are sitting down saying, oh, you know, like my biggest influence is Fugazi. I don't know. Maybe they are.
But I think in a generational way, I mean, both of us being in the music scene, or anybody who's in the music scene kind of knows this about the Ian MacKaye who sits on your shoulder when you're trying to make a decision about your band. And it's like, what would Ian do? Everywhere from some local band in a small town America to the Foo Fighters all probably take that little Ian MacKaye and I keep it showed up and like figure out, is this a smart move for my band? Like, am I doing this for the right reasons?
Let's talk a bit about the lyrics in Epic Problem, where he uses the telegram structure with stop. That's a really cool thing. First time I heard it, I was like, this is awesome. Very clever. Any lyrics that stood out for you?
The Temper Tantrum by Guy on Full Disclosure, that's the one that like stuck out, is that there's like such a panic to it. That's a lot of the like breathing in, like where he's like you can hear him like struggling for air.
Do you mean in the lyric sheet where it says, I want out times 1,000? Did you see that?
Exactly. That part.
Right near the end of the album is the one that kind of just sits with me after every time I listen to it, and I guess has been sitting with me for decades now, but it's an argument where he says, Ian says, it's all about strikes now, so here's what's striking me, that some punk could argue some moral ABCs while people are catching what bombers release, while I'm on a mission to never agree. You know, that could be the tombstone.
That's funny because as you were saying that, I was like, oh, I think I know the line you're gonna say because I can hear it all the time. The other one I thought was interesting for Life and Limb is that Guy wrote that with Bridget in mind. I guess they had worked together in a couple bands.
One of the songs has Gee, Ian, and Joe all harmonizing at the same time, which I've never heard them do that before on any record.
Yeah, especially on this album, they don't fall into a stale category or a stale like mold of themselves, right? They write the song how the song needs to be written, whatever it takes to get that song done. That's great.
I always thought it was a bit of a flop as far as the reviews and stuff go, but it got amazing reviews and it's been on all these best of lists over the years too. I don't know why I thought that it was, maybe because it was just so different and I thought maybe people wouldn't appreciate that. Sort of like with Red Medicine when it came out, it was just like so different than In on the Killtaker. So maybe I just assumed
Yeah.
that, it wasn't received well, but the reviews that I read were just glowing.
But I think this is a slow burner album. Like, this isn't the first one that I would have listened to. I came to it quite a bit later. Now it's probably the one I go back to the most, so.
Did you go to the show in Victoria when they?
Oh no, I went to the one in Vancouver.
Was really cool to see them play these songs live with
Yeah.
Jerry Buscher, second drums and percussion, and just him being wild and dancing around and using all kinds of sticks and brushes and shakers, and was a really cool addition to the band.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was the only time we got to see them. You saw them a few times.
I saw them one other time at the Plaza of Nations in Vancouver, on the
That's
In on the
right.
Killtaker tour. And there was a show in Burnaby that I should have gone to, but I had to come home.
All
But
right.
supposedly that show was really awful. The sound was horrible because it was in a hockey arena. A lot of jerk-offs were there causing trouble, so it was one of those shows where not a lot of music really got played.
Right.
The album is, the fact that I've listened to it 4 or 5 times a day in the last few days just kind of says it all. 11 songs on there, including the intro, but every song is just so different. Nothing drags, nothing, there's a couple songs that I'm not like 100% stoked on. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the song O, which is a bit weak in the
Yeah.
context of this album. But like, how good is Expectator with the two drums? How good is Night Shop for a quieter song? How good is Full Disclosure? How good is Strangelight? How good is The Kill? Like, they're just all such bangers, right? Epic Problem.
Yeah.
It's just front to back. It all intertwines.
That's the one thing that I found with End Hits and this one is the tracking of the songs are fantastic. They work really well. In fact, most Fugazi albums track really well. Thought about not as singles but as like a as a whole. Argument is the perfect closer to that.
Just thinking about the progression of them over the years to this album, I mean,
Yeah.
it's the same band. You can tell that it's the same band, but it's also so much more. And there's a guitar sweep in Night Shop that could be almost the same as the Margin Walker one.
Yeah.
It just goes in from there to this like orchestral guitar noodle thing that you would never have heard back in
Yeah.
Fugazi's early days. It's like almost like symphonic or something. Someone told me, hey, this is Fugazi, and played that orchestral part, I would just laughed and said, that's not Fugazi, that's like, what is
Yeah.
that? So it's really cool that they've progressed so much. You want to do some YouTube comments? It's always
Yeah,
fun.
let's do it.
This is from Edwin M2376, and it was 3 years ago. And this is a bit weird. Okay, here we go. Written and recorded before the dark 9/11 incident. Fugazi's masterpiece and beautiful closing before they decided to go for hiatus. The argument tells the story of the life that continues in the world of corporate America, which is greedy, fast-paced, and uncomfortably structured. For me, The Argument is a smart album that only leaves one clear message: doomsday, survive, drown without fire, or fight back. The part that scares me is the drown without fire. I don't know why. All right, this one is from Jag NFL 8 years ago, and it says, whoever had never heard this album, found it on YouTube, and listened to it all the way through, your life starts today. I like that one. This one's Tetcom, 5 years ago. All capital letters. Dude, this sounds so amazing so far. Well, I'm loving these guys. Just got into them today, so it's a big deal. Could you imagine, like, listening to, just finding the argument on YouTube, and just, it's the first time you've heard Fugazi, and you gotta wrap your head around that.
then have to deep dive, go backwards.
This one's my favorite, and I'm sure that we can both relate to it. It says, Emerson Smithereens, 2094, 5 years ago. I have a hard time deciding if this is Fugazi's best album, or if all their albums are their best album.
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably say that this is their best album. The more I've listened to it this week, the more it really feels like a whole when it comes down to
Because they're getting so much better and better, and because they're changing their sound and always rewriting the next album like Bad Religion or something, or doing the same thing over and over again, they're
it.
progressing and they're getting better. So, I mean, it would make sense that their last album is their best. I have a really soft spot for In on the Killtaker just because that was my record, right? But I do see that progression and how each, if you really look at it with an open mind without really taking into account the nostalgia aspect and hits and the argument are their best albums. Obviously, Waiting Room, like if you think about that song, you're going to say their first album's the best, but really they've just progressed so much. And I'd love to hear what they've been doing in their basement. I would assume they're working on new stuff in the basement just for fun, but I just can't imagine what that would be now. It would be really cool. It'd be very experimental, I think. It's just nice to know that they're doing it, that they haven't completely stopped playing music together. It'd be like if you and I were in a band for 20 years, which would be awesome. And then we just decided to stop, but we never actually got together again and played for fun. And that would have been super sad. So I'm just stoked that they are. And I mean, if this is the last Fugazi album, I'm fine with that. I mean, it could be the best album they would ever write. So there's no point to think, oh, well, there's another even better album in them. This could be it.
This could be it. And going back to that, them still playing and not playing out, that's the foundation of enjoying what and doing it for the right reason. You're not doing it to go sell some pieces of merchandise or whatever. You're just in there to like hang out with your buds and play music. So that's rad.
So if you want to listen to more episodes of the Flex Your Head podcast, we do have a bunch of them on the Scream Therapy website. So ScreamTherapyHQ.com. And also the main podcast is there as well, which is about punk rock and mental health. So ScreamTherapyHQ.com, HQ as in headquarters. If you want to check out what I'm up to with my book and the podcast, it's all there at that same website. The book did come out in May and it's been doing quite well. People seem to like it. So go and grab a copy if you so desire. Thanks a lot for doing this, Drew. It was fun to talk about. That just zipped by. I feel like we just started talking, but this is the kind of record we could talk about forever. So,
Yeah, there's so many things about this band that we could have deep dove in. But yeah, thanks to talking about this album because it is awesome.
Your head!